Amen. Well, take your Bibles and turn with us. I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're studying the Ten Commandments. Have been for weeks now, and we're on the fourth one. Would you give me the first one? Come on, together, together. Thou shalt what? Amen. The second one. No graven images. The third one. Take the Lord's name in vain. Y'all getting it. Y'all getting it. It's getting better. And then the one we'll study now is what? Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. All right. Now, this is probably one of the most controversies we have in the age of grace. And if you turn to, like I said, Deuteronomy chapter 5, where we're going to start at tonight. And the reason I say that is because it's the only commandment that's not repeated for the church in the New Testament. And you got a group of people, especially one denomination, that says that you have to keep the Sabbath right on because it was given and therefore it was never taken away, as far as finding the scripture where God said not to keep the Sabbath. But I'm going to take, we looked at halfway, and I may not finish all the night, but next Wednesday night I will, because of the voting of the deacons a few minutes or to get nomination. But I want to look at something and present to you in this study about how this commandment was given and why and who to, and hope you can see the scriptures in the sense of how that when we come to the New Testament, that the New Covenant covers a whole new territory compared to what the Old Covenant did. And you find that the other commandments can fit either way and they're repeated, but this is not. And I think there's a reason, because when you look at this commandment, how God gave it, you're going to see He gave it to Israel. And it benefited anyone who would come in and follow God's plan to Israel. But when you come to the New Covenant, Jesus was dead on the Sabbath. And you find at the end of the Sabbath or the next morning, He rose from the dead. And I just believe it'd be an eye-opener. I have taken a lot of time in trying to lay out some things that from Scripture, I believe, that you can understand why today, that though it's holy, though it was right at the time, but it's like this particular thing. And someone said, well, if it was holy, why would He have to change? You don't have to change anything that's holy. Well, God is letting us know there's some things that He started which were holy in doing, but He made something better. And that's it. So you remember me telling you about how when you talk about the law of gravity, and that's a tremendous law, and it works, it always works. And then we talk about the law of aerodynamics. The law of aerodynamics overrides the law of gravity, but when you are breaking the law of gravity through the law of aerodynamics, it doesn't mean that the law of gravity is not still working. It's still there. If you don't believe me, you let the law of aerodynamics stop working where you're at in the air, and you will be taken over by the law of gravitation. Amen? You will do that. Well, here's something that I'm glad. Really, there are things in the New Testament God shows us that does not link us to the Old Testament other than to learn by. We're not under. As a matter of fact, I'm glad I'm not under keeping the Sabbath. Because I'll tell you, there's penalties for that, a pure law, that if we were in the age of grace under the Sabbath, none of us would be here tonight. We'd already be dead. Because the penalty of the law at this time of the Sabbath is very strong. And you'll see that tonight. Father, we come to this book, the Word of God, You preserved for our day. We thank You for it. Without it, we would not know anything much about You. Thank You, Holy Spirit, allowing You to inspire men to write. But You live within our hearts who are saved. We receive the Spirit of God, the down payment of our salvation. And because of that, we have the One who inspired this book to be written. And in turn, now You help us through illumination to understand what was written. We ask for that, Lord, not for to be puffed up, not to show people how much we know. We ask for it just to grow in grace and knowledge that we can be better Christians collected together here at Fellowship Baptist Church to go into this world to represent Your kingdom until we see You face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, last week we got down to John chapter 5. Just quote that or read it to you again. I have it written down. John chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Jesus made this statement in that He said, My Father worketh hitherto, and now I work. And there's an interesting thing about that, because when we go back to the Old Testament and we see that God created 6 days, and then the seventh day He rested. And when He gave the Sabbath, He referred back to that to some degree. But he gave the Sabbath to the nation of Israel. Let's read what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 5 in verse 15. He said, remember that thou was a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. Therefore the Lord thy God commandeth thee. Now who is the thee there? Come on, tell me who's the thee. That I'll keep you awake, but talking a bit. It's Israel. Amen. I've commanded thee what? He said to keep the Sabbath. And then he goes on and said, verse 22, these words that the Lord spake to all your assembly, the mount, out of the midst of the fire and the cloud and out of the thick darkness with a great voice. And he added no more, and he wrote them in two tablets of stone and delivered them, pardon me, unto me. Of course, he lists the others at this time, but notice what he said here about why he gave this commandment to them. Because he had delivered them with a mighty arm out of the land of Egypt at that particular time. And so it seems to me like there was a time when you go back when God talked about resting. He didn't rest because he needed rest. It was an example, I think, to give us the understanding that we need rest. We're in bodies that can get tired. But when you leave Adam and Eve in the garden and began to see from there to Jesus said, and again in John chapter 5, verse 17 and 18, in those verses, he said that my Father worketh here the two, and now I work. As if after you see Adam and Eve in the garden, there's been a working of God ever since then. He said, I'm still working now. He didn't say any give out time for the Sabbath day in this work that had to do promote the kingdom of God. So here the Sabbath became God, is because God brought them out of the land of Egypt. Today, we do not celebrate the Sabbath. We are working for the cause of Christ. We worship and come together on what is the Lord's Day. And the Lord's Day is the day, as we'll see in the New Testament in a little bit, how the New Testament used this word Lord's Day, the first day of the week, or the first day of the week, which we refer to as the Lord's Day. Now, it's interesting because here in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and also in Exodus 20, this is a humanitarian also because men and beasts both had to rest on this particular day. Now, it's interesting because if we knew no more about it than that, it would seem like this is clear, cut, and dry. And God dealt with it that way. But there's a spirit of the law too. For God is a gracious God. He's always, if there is a desperate need, God has allowed people to do certain things because of that need. And we show some of those. In other words, God's a gracious God. He sets His law clear cut and there's a penalty for it. And when we break it and it is broken, then the penalty takes over. And Israel was certainly under the instructions of the law. But Jesus came along later, and one of the main issues that the Pharisees and the Sadducees tried to do to Christ was to blame that He could not be the Son of God because He broke the law of the Sabbath. And we'll look at that in just a few minutes. The disciples were criticized for plucking corn on the Sabbath. Now, I want you to look with me. Go to the book of Mark just a minute. And it's going to be kind of jumbled up a little bit. But I hope you can get it together and do it pretty fast. Look with me in the book of Mark for just a moment. In Mark chapter 2. And I want to read verses 23 down a few verses at this particular time. In Mark chapter 2. Now, here, God said He'd give the law to Israel. They couldn't do anything. And we can look at some things that the Lord said. Hold your finger there and go with me to Exodus first. Maybe I need to go this route first. Go with Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Now, Exodus chapter 31, in verse 13, notice what God says. He said to the Lord, the Lord spake to Moses in verse 12, speak thou also unto the children of Israel. Watch. Saying, verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep. Now, who's he talking to? Israel. What does he say? My Sabbath ye, Israel, shall keep. What's this now? For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generation that ye may know that I am the Lord and that, and that does sanctify you. Now he says, Israel, I want you to know that I'm the Lord. And this is a sign. The Sabbath is a sign between me and you that you have to keep so I can sanctify. This would be a means of being set aside may set it aside for you and with you because you are obeying me. Now watch this. Verse 14. Ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. Wow! That's a dreadful penalty. Man comes around and says, well, you ought to keep the law. Well, I'll tell you this, you better be keeping it because if you don't, the penalty is death. And that's what he said to Israel. Come on, look at me now. You look at what's been said. Read the words. Don't read through the words. Read the words. And notice what he said. He said, whosoever doth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among the people. And where verse 16 said, where the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generation for a perpetual covenant. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For the 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, goes back and reveals that again, and rested and was refreshed. And he gave unto Moses when he made an end of communion with him upon Mount Sinai, 2 tablets of stone, testimonies, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. Pardon me, I'm having a little trouble with my throat tonight. When you look at this, this is serious business. Ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Breaking God's law is serious business. It's laughed at today. People don't pay no mind to it in the age of grace. Hardly at all. They say we do. But it's serious business. You have to look at the framework where you're at and then thank God when He shows you He made something better, because that got you out from under there. No wonder there's such a curse under the giving of the law. And so as you see the Lord developing this in the Old Testament, He's letting them know. He said, He let them know, listen, you need to know who's talking. You need to know who you're serving. You need to know who I am. And I want you to tell you, I'm not telling you this so you can just try it. I'm telling you this because it's law. And this is what's going to happen. But on the other hand, when God gives His perfect law, which brings about the curse if it's broken, thank God there's always undergirded by grace and mercy. Because there are needs sometime that God recognized if it's a desperate need and not greed. And only God can tell us that, because a lot of times we have greed and we call it a need. And I'll prove that to you in just a few minutes. So again, it's very serious. This was a sign between God and Israel. Israel belonged to an older generation as a people to whom God had given a peculiar sign to, and He warned about what should be done. Now turn with me to Numbers. And let me go back to Mark in just a few minutes. Look with me in Numbers for just a moment in chapter 15. Watch this now. And while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. Now what's so mad? When you read that verse, what is so bad about gathering sticks on the Sabbath day? It's forbidden. Amen? It's forbidden. You couldn't cook. You can't do anything on the Sabbath within a framework at all, because God said it's a day of rest, and I mean rest, and there's only certain things you could do. But wait a minute, what's this? It said, and they found him. Now, reading this, because this looks like a contradiction according to what we're going to look in Mark chapter 2. Notice what he said. He said, and they found him gathering sticks, brought him to Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. Now, I like this because by rights you could say the law is so precise that when God told them this, and He told them the day before, they are to work everything out for that day. They're to cook the meal they're going to have, the bread they're going to have. They're not to do anything on the Sabbath day. Why be so strong? Because God has let them know there's no halfway house with Him. Ladies and gentlemen, we think sometimes in the age of grace we've got a halfway house. But God, I'm going to tell you, even in grace, you're going to be surprised what we have to stand before God one of these days and get an account for, even though we're saved. We don't have to give an account of our sin. But there's a lot of things we're going to have to give an account for. God, we've made God so much like, you know what literally has happened? God has made man in His image. And man today has come to the place to try to create God in man's image. And so he's no more than what we want him to be. God is much more than that, always will be. And when I read what he says, I don't care if it's Israel, I don't care if it's in Christ's day, God has to give us the ability and the spiritual illumination to be able to reconcile Scripture together. It does not contradict itself. What God said in the Old Testament is just as real. He meant what he said, and what he said in the New Testament, he meant what he said. And there's no contradiction in it at all. It's just a matter for us to be able, with His help, to reconcile and bring it together in unity in a systematic order so we can grasp what God is doing. Where the world looks at it and laughs and say, well, this contradicts this, and they're so much looking for contradiction, they don't care one thing about the truth. But watch again. And they put Him in a ward. Now, they come to Moses and said, this man's been caught picking up sticks. That's all he's did. I guess he's going to have a fire on the Sabbath day. Must have been going to cook something. He didn't get that far, though. That far, Johnson County. And they put him in a ward. Why? Because it was not declared what should be done to him. Now, here's where I think that God is showing there's a spirit of the law also. There's an element in the law that where there, God recognized there's some things in this life that you and I can't just stop or change if there's a desperate need. On the Sabbath day. And here's a case, though, where they put him in a ward. They set him aside. They separated him. And Moses and some of these people, the Lord said unto Moses, they put him in a ward, and because it was not declared what they should be done to him. In other words, they were analyzing the situation. I believe this, whether it was absolutely a need or laziness on that part or someone trying God, or was it greed? Greed, trying God, laziness, won't acceptable. But if there was a need, it was acceptable. And how do I know that? Because when we get to Mark chapter 2, Jesus says, I am the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And when those Sadducees came and began to, or Pharisees came and began to talk to Christ about His disciples walking through a corn patch and plucking some corn to eat, they came to Him and said, why you let your disciples break the Lord's Sabbath day? Because they knew that was something He could get them. They could get Him on because they understood how strong it was in the Old Testament, even though it was many years later. So watch what He said. And the Lord said unto Moses, the man shall be surely put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. What a penalty for just picking up a few sticks. And I hear someone say, well, I'm glad my God is not that God, a God of wrath. I'm glad I've got a God of grace. Hey, this is the same God in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Yeah. Right. That's right. And Moses didn't say it. We said Moses is mistaken. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God told Moses to tell Israel to stone them, him. And watch what he said. And all the congregation stoned him. And all the congregation brought him without the camp. And stone him with stones, and he died as the Lord commanded Moses. Now, why was that done? I don't know as we know, but I'll tell you this. It had to be not a need. It had to be not a need. And I'm glad for the New Testament, the Holy Spirit showing us when Christ was here what He did when there was a need. God is a loving God. And I guarantee you there's not one thing, if it's a desperate need out of our control, if it's a desperate need, God will go all the way to help us with a need. But He don't want us to start doing things because we think we've got it control and God should understand. That's our thing. Oh, God understands. He understands only one thing, obedience or disobedience. That's all He understands. When I say that for our understanding, it's obedience or disobedience. And so here, this had to be a greed in this man's heart. Whatever he's picking them up on the Lord's day was not that he needed to. And he got the death penalty just for that at this particular time. What happens when one breaks the Sabbath day in pure law? It's holy, it's right. Hebrews said that. We spent time on that. It's holy and it's right. There's a penalty for it. And it was death. In this particular case, and here's a person who tried the system. He didn't get by with it. They put him aside. They analyzed the situation. And as the prayer, hey, what Moses and those people did, God said to Moses, no, this is a need where they must realize, I mean what I say. My law is holy. There was no reason for that. Therefore, he has committed the capital punishment of sin of dying. And that's harsh, isn't it? Not from God's standpoint. You know, God's a great, gracious God. And all He desires is for us to obey Him. It's something about His heart that pleases Him just to obey Him. And it's a wonderful thing when that happens. Who would want to go under the Sabbath day restriction? I don't. Praise God. I'm so glad I understand it. Don't put me under it. There's no way God's going to put me under. He's delivering me out from under. Because, ladies and gentlemen, hear me. If we were still under the... I don't care what the different religious groups say. They go back and say, well, it was given in that day for Israel, and it's certainly no way to take it away. But there's enough efforts to let us see this particular commandment has a death penalty to it right then. And there's no way in the world that any of us who was under the law today would even be alive today, because every one of us has broke it. By the way, we have all broke the Sabbath. You know that? Every one of us have broke it. I'm glad I'm not under it. In the New Testament, the Bible tells us, listen, we're not judged by days. And I'll show you that as we get to Colossians a little bit later. Here many break the Sabbath under these circumstances. But now, would you go back to Mark with me and look at what Jesus said. Now, keep in mind, this man was just picking up sticks. And he committed the death penalty, as God said to. And it had to be greed. That's the only reason I can see it. But watch what Jesus said. Now, he said, it came to pass as he went through the cornfields on the Sabbath day. Now, he's walking through the fields on the Sabbath day. And the disciples began as they went to pluck the ears of corn. And the Pharisees said unto him, behold, why do they on the Sabbath day that which is not lawful? And everybody heard them say that. You know, that's amen to that. That's true. And he says to Jesus, why do you let your disciples do that? You know it's not lawful. Watch what Jesus said. He said unto them, have you never read what David did? Now watch this. When he had a need, isn't that interesting? Have you never read what David did when he had a what? Need. Watch. And was hungry, he and they that were with him. Watch. How he went to the house of God in the days of Abiathar, the high priest, and did eat the shewbread, which is not lawful to eat, but for the priest, and gave also to them which were with him. And he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not the man for the Sabbath. In other words, Sabbath was made for good, was literally made for good of the people, and not the good of the people made for the Sabbath. In other words, there are some things that you and I desperately need. Boy, I'm so glad the hospitals are open if I get sick on the Lord's Day. I'm glad if I fall like I did the other day, and thank God I didn't break my arm or my leg, but I skinned it up a little bit. But it'd been a sad thing if I'd have fell on the Lord's Day. And by the way, it was on Saturday, so that would have been the Sabbath day according to Jewish calendar. If I'd have fell and all of a sudden broke a leg and they said, I'm sorry, it's Sabbath day. You're going to have to wait the Monday before we said it. That's a need. Wouldn't you call that a need? Wouldn't you? Come on now, folks. Good gracious. Shake a leg or something at me. You know, going well. You'd call that a need. If you had a heart attack, wouldn't that be a need? Now, why did Jesus say that? All right, go back with me, if you will. Let's go to 1 Samuel, and let's see what... Let's look at that event. I'm not going to finish this now, but we'll get pretty close. Turn to 1 Samuel 21. If Jesus brought this up about David, don't I need to go back and see the context of the situation that was there when this took place? And he tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 21. I need to know, what was it about David that went in and took the bread? Did he walk in beyond the priest and get it without the priest knowing about it? The only thing we know this, he mentioned the priest at this time, but he also said that David went and got it because he was hungry. Now, I don't care if David would be king. Even if he is king, he don't have a right to go and do what God said not do. But he did do something here that was illegal. You know, what's me? Ladies and gentlemen, this is a wonderful book because it tells us things as they are. He don't cover up. You know, if we were writing a book and a man did something that was wrong, we'd end up covering it up somehow or another, try to justify it. God doesn't justify it at all, except where there's a need. And in this story, it amazes me because David literally lied. Not only was he a murderer and adulteress, but he also lied here. Does that give a premium on lying if you get into the case that God has a premium on? No, sir. Lying is a death for sin. God hates liars. But on the other hand, it shows us when we get in situations at times, we just don't know how to handle things. Fear will cause us to do something that we wouldn't do otherwise. Thank God for the forgiveness of God. I'm so glad I live in the age of grace. I'm so glad I understand a little bit more about this now than I did 50 year ago. I forget now, time goes by so fast, 50 year ago. I'm so glad there's more I understand. I don't know a whole lot, but there's more I understand. It helps me to know that God is the only thing to focus on. And here I focus on him in this book. Now watch what happened. He said, and then David came to Nob. Now the reason for this, Nob is probably about two miles or so north of Jerusalem. David is running from Saul. And Saul was king at this time. And he comes to Nob, Amalek, he said, and the priest. And Amalek was afraid at the meeting of David. Now, he knew David. He was somewhat afraid. He said unto him, why art thou alone and no man with thee? Here David comes to his door and he's knocking and sees him alone. He knows the story going on. He knows his priest. He's got to know that God has put this man going to be king of Israel. And for some reason, him to come knock on his door, he's afraid. And what's the story? He said, another thing, David, nobody else is with you. None of the warriors of David is with him now. Watch what David said. And David said to Amalek, the priest, the king hath commanded me a business and has said unto me, let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send you, and what I have commanded thee, and I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. It's not, he's running from Saul. Saul hadn't sent him nowhere. But he says, the king sent me here. And my men are such a place where I told him to go. And the reason he sent me here, we're hungry. We need some help. And he says, now therefore, what is under thy hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in my hand, or what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, there is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young man have kept himself at least from women. Now the priest said, there's no bread that I have except the bread that's hallowed. And this bread was bread that we've taken from the bread of shoe bread, table of shoe bread. And the Bible teaches us, if you go back, I think it's over in, let's see, let me go back and see if I can find it. Look with me to Leviticus chapter 24. And you see, that's the thing, folks. When you start studying Scripture, there's so many Scriptures to read that you have to pre-bring up to get the full detail of what God's doing. Now, I'm going to have to leave you here. We'll come back here in a minute, just Samuel. But watch in chapter 24, and you'll understand what's going on here now. He said, on the bread I've got, that which I've just changed from the table of shoe bread, and fresh bread's been put on there, and God gave a right to Aaron his sons to eat the bread that's taken all away off the table that day, which had been replaced by fresh bread. And so the whole thing here, watch in verse chapter 24, Leviticus said in verse 5, and thou shalt take fine flour and bake 12 cakes. Therefore, he said, 2 tenths deal shall be in 1 cake, and thou shalt set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, upon the pure table before the Lord. And thou shalt put a pure frankincense upon each row, that it may be on the bread, and for the memorial, even as an offering made by fire unto the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, been taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be Aaron and his sons, and they shall eat it in the holy place, for it is most holy unto him of the offering of the Lord, made by fire, by a perpetual statute. Now turn back to 1 Samuel. We see what's happening. He comes to Ahimelech here, and he says, we want some bread, just general thing, speaking. We're hungry. We need some help. What do you have? Ahimelech says, well, the only thing I have is what we've taken off the table of shoe bread. I have that. It's under my hands. It's for us, and so forth. Now, by rights, this bread from the mind of God said is not to be taken. It's to stay holy. And even though the priests have made themselves through sacrifice holy, they could eat it as far as the priest is concerned, but it's forbidden for anyone else to have it. But there's a need here. And so what happens is, when you look in 1 Samuel again, and we come back, And we see that he said the priest answered David and said in verse 4, there is no common bread here under my hand. There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread. See the difference? David, I don't have no bread except the bread that's hallowed, which has been on the table of shewbread. It's holy before God. Now, I've just changed. We read a little further, and he said, if the young man... And David answered his priest, and first of all, he said, if the young man have kept himself at least from women. In other words, he's saying that this bread to be eaten, even now, though there's a need, you can't have it if there's been in a relationship with women for 3 days. There's a stipulation here. And David answered the priest and said to him, of a truth, women have been kept from us about 3 days since, he says, I came out. And the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread. He said, I don't have no bread here except that which came off the table, shoe bread. And though I've replaced it with bread that now is fresh, this bread is still hallowed just for the priest. And he said, well, we have a need. And then the priest sees the need. He says, the only stipulation is now, you've got to be sure you're pure. And one of the factors was the men of war, I guess, the fact that they could have no relationship with a woman for 3 days. David said, my soldiers don't focus on that. They're warriors. And because they had met that criteria, the priest gave him hallowed bread. For there was no bread there but the shoe bread that was taken from the Lord's table before the Lord to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. And notice, and then the thing about this, David went there thinking he's going to get by with Saul, but didn't realize that he had one of the Edomites in verse 7, Doeg, the Edomite, which was it tells us the chief of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. And he sees David. And of course, you know, boy, it hits the fan then, because David said to him, is there not under any, and watch this. I don't read all this for you, because this we're just talking about what Jesus said about the shewbread, but watch this. And David said to him, is there not here in under thy hand a spear or a sword? He knows evidently he's fixing to get into something, a scourge of some kind, and he has no weapon to fight with. And he says, do you have a spear or a sword? And he says, well, I have neither brought my sword nor my weapon with me, because the king's business required haste. And the priest, well, there again, king's business required haste. The fact is, he's running from King Saul. What's this? And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here. And David said, there is none like that, give it me. He gets Goliath's sword. Isn't that an amazing thing? The very one that he took from Goliath when he took the stone, hit him in the head, and then he took his sword and cut his neck off. And now he comes back to where the priest is at, and he gets the very sword that Goliath had to use in battle, the rest of them. And, of course, when this guy went back, and I get into these stories, and they're a blessing to see it. David rose and fled that day for fear of Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And he said, the servant of Achish said unto him, is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another a hymn to dances? And now he's saying, look, isn't this the one that we heard all that fuss about? He danced before God because of great victories, and he was a great warrior and so forth. And he said, saying, Saul has slain his 1,000, David his 10,000. And David laid up these words in his heart and was sore afraid of the king here now of Gath. And he changes his behavior again. Here's King David, a man after God's own heart. You know what he comes now? Fear. Fear is running from Saul, even though God is manipulating and bringing him to be king of Israel. And now he's running again from Saul. He comes to the king of Gath. Instead of the Gath receiving him, he's afraid of him now, because he's afraid that he's going to do something, befriend Saul somehow or another. And watch this. David, the smart boy who fought Goliath and won, acts like a maniac. He's so afraid he acts like he's crazy. Look at it. And he changed his behavior for them and fenced himself mad in their hands, and he scrabbled at the doors of the gate and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. And then sent Achish unto his servant, lo, you see, this man is mad. Bless my heart. Maybe sometime I need to do that. Get around somebody I don't care much for, just act like I'm mad. Just spit from my mouth, you know. He just act like he was had a fit. And spitter came on his beard and everywhere else. And the king said, this man's mad. And you know, because he was that way, he didn't do anything to it. And yet David's a man after God's own heart. You know the reason why? When David disobeyed God by doing something God said not to do, and God spoke to him, he corrected it. He didn't start letting it go and said, well, now God understands this. He corrected it. God knows that we are not capable of meeting His standard by ourselves. And He knows we won't let Him help us all the time. But He also lets us know this, that anything that comes in our life that in turn would bring breaking of fellowship, He's ready at the very moment if we sincerely correct it. And God will forgive us for it. And that's where it comes to serve. Uncle, what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm serious about this thing. There's many people who God has given opportunity to do things. And they failed to do it because they wanted to meet the standard. They didn't like what was going on or whatever it was be. They did that. And they end up coming up short when they stand before God one day because they let something get in the way to obey God. David is a man that shows us, and God said he's a man after his own heart. But the reason for that was he was willing to admit when God said he was wrong and come to God and ask God to change it, forgive him, and move in a direction. Now, he didn't do that one time. He didn't commit adultery one time. He didn't act like a man, madman, but one time. There's things I'm telling you that you and I, sometimes one-time events changes the whole thing. And God is saying, let us understand how much He desires to forgive if we meet His criteria. Now, when it comes to this thing of the law, go back to Mark. I got to quit. I'll pick up Mark next week, and we'll develop what Jesus said when He talked in Mark chapter 2, is the fact that when he talked about, have you not heard that David, when he had a need, and what he's literally setting forth here at this particular time to these Pharisees, that here is a case where there's a desperate need. These disciples had been traveling a good while. They had no personal place they could go except certain places. And this was the food they got on their journey. And Jesus let them know. He said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for the good of the people, not the people for the good of the Sabbath. He said, therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. In other words, listen, I don't care what you have brought into your thinking about what God said about the Sabbath day. You're looking at the Lord of the Sabbath. You know what it says? You can believe what I'm telling you is coming from God. To the world, it looks contradictory. To the world, it looks like it's out of place. To the world, it looks like that Jesus is trying to be something He's not. No, He's exactly who He said He was. And He said, I'll tell you, there's a difference. And this is my understanding of all I put together for weeks of studying this. I understand there's a difference in having a need and having greed. Father, thank You for the study. Bless it to our hearts as we finish this up next week and this particular fourth commandment. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.